From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of June 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, and Harry Cooney will be here from GrowMark to look at the agricultural energies. In today's Ag News, U.S. farm programs are expected to face significant reforms as the Farm Bill makes its way through Congress. It's expected the bill could come up for a vote in the Senate soon. The House Agriculture Appropriations Committee is expected to mark up the fiscal 2013 USDA funding legislation tomorrow. And the bankruptcy trustee winding down the disposal of MF Global says he may sue executives of the company. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear from the state statisticians in Indiana, Illinois, Nebraska, and Minnesota. And we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, as we wrap up our Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished lower in the corn and the wheat pit, but a bit higher in the beans. July contract for the soft red winter wheat down 15 and a quarter. These are the final trades at 2 o'clock this afternoon at 612 and a half. September at 630 down 16 and December at 656 and a half. Down 16 cents. The hard red July in Kansas City settlement price there at 638, down 17. Back in Chicago, final trades in the 2 o'clock hour. July corn at 567 and three quarters at the end of the electronic, down a quarter. September at 517, down 10 and a half. And December at 509 and a quarter, down 14 and a half. March futures, 521 and three quarters, down 13 and a quarter. And the May contract at 529 and a quarter, down 13 and three quarters. July corn at $5.36, down 14 cents for the day. July soybeans, 12 and a half cents higher at the end of the electronic trade, 1352 and a half. August contract, 1331 and a half, up 11 and three quarters. And September for the electronic at $13, up 8 and a quarter cents as it finished out. November futures, 1274, up 5 and three quarters for the harvest month. In January corn, or rather beans, at 1277 and a half, up 5 and three quarters as well. Bean meal at $400.40, up 4.30. Bean oil at 48.60, 29 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the nearby August at 119.20, down 77 and a half. The August feeders at 159.17 and a half, up 70 for the day. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Lean hogs on the afternoon finished the July contract at $91.57. They were up 52.5 cents. Now here's what the numbers look like in the outside markets for the afternoon. July crude oil at $84.22 a barrel, up 24 cents. Ethanol at $2.03, that's down 0.7 cents. And natural gas at $2.42.7, a penny and a tenth higher for the day. The heating oil at $2.63.1, up 4 8/10 on the afternoon. Gold futures at $1,615.20 an ounce, up $3. The dollar at 82.822, that's up 0.26, and the CRB index at 270.38, 0.38 higher. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon says we'll see mostly sunny skies, a high of just 77 degrees. It's wonderful outside on a north-northeast wind at about 13 miles an hour, gusting to 16 for the afternoon. And then tomorrow, mostly clear skies and a low of 55 with a northeast wind at 5 to 8 miles per hour on the day. By the time we get to Thursday, we'll see sunny skies and a high of 80 degrees, a north-northeast wind at about 3 to 6, and Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 60. Friday, sunny skies and a high of 83 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear, a low of 65. Saturday, mostly sunny and a high near 87 degrees. Saturday night, clear and a low of 67. Sunday, sunny skies and a high near 90. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low of 69 degrees. On Monday, sunny skies and 87 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, is on the phone line now to take up what's been happening in the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne, and we appreciate you being with us for the day. Tell me about what happened in the marketplace this afternoon.
Well, I think a couple things we got to look at that's sort of off the board. Basically, we had noticed that Decatur paid 70 over for corn sometime this morning, and Pekin paid 72 over, and yet July corn was down a half a cent on the day.
Why would there be such a disparity? Why would the futures not following?
Mark, that most farmers are asking. I think the delivery process is broken. And we'd love to see the Board of Trade address that. But that's another story that probably won't happen. But it's very, very strong old crop cash basis for both corn and beans, Todd. That's hard to buy a cash grain in the country. But the overhanging situation with the European banks, with our economy, and with everything that way is just putting a lid on and a risk-off attitude at the mercantile exchange.
Well, if we're 70 over, we're at, what, about 640 or close to 635 or something like that for cash corn indicator?
That would be right.
Well, and is that a place that you think producers ought to let go of some of the final grains that they have in their bin?
Well, I think, you know, that's going to depend on what they believe, which weather forecaster they want to believe and what they're looking at here, because, you know, the hope for this market is the tight cash market and, of course, also the idea of what's happening in the world of weather. Every weather forecaster said it's going to be dry through main part of the Midwest through the weekend here. Cooler than normal temperatures, but heating up over the weekend, and that's where the forecasts seem to vary then when we go on and see what sort of rain we're starting to get next Monday through Thursday of next week. And, of course, if we do not see rains after, as long as we aren't as dry as our soil moistures are, then we'll see the market bounce back.
But is there much disparity between forecaster? And I know that I've already talked with Don Day. So later in the later on, we'll hear him say that he thinks that rainfall is in the offing for next week and things should be really quite nice in the Midwest. Others, I take it, disagree with that.
You know, the weather forecast, a lot of areas don't have the southern half of the Midwest or from central Indiana and south getting much during that time period. So there is a variance, but there is rain being forecasted through part of the Midwest.
Right, and then again, there is a dividing line of sorts in Indiana, Ohio, on the bad side of that again this year at this point.
Unfortunately, for all of our local listeners, yes.
All right. What do you think about soybean market?
The soybean market, well, of course, CONAB reduced their bean crop down here today, but the USDA had already reduced under that number, so that was sort of a mixed bag as to whether it was positive or negative. We looked at things, but it did add a little oomph to the bean market here today. We are seeing some decent bean interest out of China, and the imports do work for over there. So that, by CONAB, did help push that up.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
That's about it today, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
That's Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon to talk about the commodity markets.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Hey, thanks to all those folks who have signed up for our Follow the Corn bus tour. We filled up bus number one, and I don't think we'll take bus number two, but if you want to sign up, you can still get on a wait list. If we put about 20 people on that wait list, we'll decide to maybe open that up. You can find all the details at willag.org on Follow the Corn. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. He's your Director of Agricultural Programming and will give us all the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agriculture, agricultural news. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow says that U.S. farm programs will face significant reform while playing a role in deficit reduction and in stimulating job creation. Stabenow adds that she has the needed 60 votes to end debate and move to a vote on the Agriculture Reform, Food and Jobs Act, better known as the Farm Bill. Stabenow says, quote, "The bottom line is the era of direct payments is over. We're not going to be paying farmers for crops they do not grow." Stabenow believes the bill could come up for a vote after several weeks of contentious debate. Some southern commodity groups have expressed concern that the Senate bill does not treat growers in all regions fairly, including rice and peanut farmers. The House Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee is scheduled tomorrow to begin marking up the spending bill for fiscal 2013 that will cover USDA, the Food and Drug Administration, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and related agencies. In preparation for that meeting, the subcommittee today is presenting a draft of the appropriations bill that many expect will call for larger cuts in nutrition programs than were included in the Senate's version of the legislation. In addition, the House version will include a provision for overall discretionary spending of $19.4 billion for fiscal year 2013, a figure that is $500 million less than fiscal year 2012 and significantly lower than the $20.8 billion included in the Senate bill. James Glidden's, the bankruptcy trustee now winding down MF Global's U.S. brokerage unit, says he might sue former chief executive John Corzine and other MF Global executives for claims that include breach of fiduciary duty and negligence. In a 275-page report filed with a bankruptcy court yesterday, Glidden's outlined how the aggressive trading strategy pushed by Corzine, a former Goldman Sachs Group Incorporated chairman and New Jersey governor, brought MF Global to the brink. Glidden's says MF Global suffered from a lack of significant monitoring and systems that resulted in customer property being used during the liquidity crisis to fund the extraordinary liquidity drains elsewhere in the business. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Up next, we'll hear from the state statisticians about updates of crop conditions in their regions. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture, NAS, released its weekly crop progress report. It showed 97% of the corn crop had emerged. 57% of that crop said to be in good condition across the 18 states that report, 15% in excellent. That compares to 59 and 13 the previous week and 55 and 12% respectively from the previous year. 94% of the soybean crop has been planted. On average, the rolling five-year average is 75%. 79% of the soybean crop has emerged. That compares to 50% on the rolling five-year average. And this week, there was a conditions report, 55% in good condition, 10% in excellent condition for the soybeans. Now, here's an update of crop progress in Minnesota, Nebraska, Indiana, and Illinois.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, June 3rd. Statewide temperatures averaged 1.4 degrees below normal at 66.3, while rainfall accumulations averaged 71 one-hundredths of an inch, which was 19 one-hundredths of an inch below normal for the 7-day period ending Sunday, June 3rd. There were 5 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supply showed a slight improvement now at 14% very short, 40% short, 45% adequate, and 1% surplus. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile was rated at 47% adequate or surplus, down 21 percentage points from last week. The driest crop reporting district based on topsoil moisture supplies was the southwestern district with a rating of 80% in the very short and short categories. Growing degree day units since May 1 ended the week at 598, which was 106 units or 22% ahead of the historic average. Corn emergence was reported at 99% compared to 87% last year and 84% for the five-year average. The average height of all corn now stands at 19 inches, a growth of 6 inches in just 1 week, and this height compared to 8 inches a year ago and 10 inches for the five-year average. The two crop reporting districts leading the state in corn height were the west-southwest and the east-southeastern districts, with an average height of 28 inches. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated in 66% good or excellent condition, unchanged from last week. Soybean emergence advanced to 91%, compared to 46% a year ago, and for the five-year averages. Overall, the soybean crop was rated in 60% good or excellent condition. The soft red winter wheat crop continued to mature at a record pace, with 82% reported turning yellow, compared with only 39% a year ago and 34% for the five-year average. 57% was reported ripe, and this compares with only 2% a year ago and 1% for the five-year average. And while it may be hard to believe, wheat harvest is now underway at 7% complete, well ahead of normal for this date. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with a crop weather report for the week ending June 3, 2012. Showers brought moisture and improved growing conditions to portions of the east, while the dry west saw conditions continue to decline. Below normal temperatures and less wind, however, did reduce stress on crops. Hail damaged crops and property in areas of the state, and producers will have to decide if replanting will take place. Half of the wheat crop was turning color, and harvest will be early this year. Wheat conditions rated 44% in good to excellent condition, below 55% good to excellent last year and 65 average. Corn rated 75% in good to excellent condition, above last year's 70, good to excellent, but below 78 average. Alfalfa and pastures are showing little growth due to the dry conditions. Side dressing fertilizer and spraying herbicides were the main field activities. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for June 3, 2012. The first soybean condition ratings of the year indicated the crop in generally good condition statewide. As of June 3rd, soybean condition was reported as 1% very poor, 2% poor, 20% fair, 63% good, and 14% excellent. During the week, weather conditions were variable throughout the state, with scattered frost reported in the northwestern areas and continued rains in the southwestern portion of the state. Corn was 98% emerged with an average height of 8 inches. Corn condition was rated 84% good to excellent. Soybeans planted advanced to 98% complete, compared to 69% last year and 90% for the 5-year average. Soybeans were 76% emerged with an average height of 2 inches. 84% of spring wheat and 81% of barley were jointed, with 4% and 3% headed, respectively. 72% of oats were jointed, with 9% headed. All three crops were rated in primarily fair to good condition. This is Dan Loftus for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending Sunday, June 3rd. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 0.29 to 2.35 inches, leaving 5.1 days suitable for field work. Temperatures ranged from 40 degrees as a low to 98 degrees for the high. Extreme heat early in the week gave way to cooler temperatures and much-needed rain showers, which brought relief to both crops and livestock. Rainfall totals were minimal in some areas, so relief from the drought conditions will be short-lived if more precipitation doesn't come soon. Corn condition improved slightly with the rain showers and is now rated 59% good to excellent, compared with 52% last year at this time. 97% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted, compared with only 42% last year. Farmers continued to replant soybean fields due to low plant populations caused by hot, dry weather during emergence. The winter wheat harvest is underway in southwestern counties, with 8% of the crop out of the fields at this point. Harvest will soon move northward as the crop is rapidly maturing. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Everything from our pre-opening to our closing market report, including Commodity Week. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural energy markets. On the phone line with us from Bloomington, Illinois at GrowMark is Harry Cooney. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
How are you today?
Oh, couldn't be better. A beautiful afternoon. The corn and beans are growing out there. It looks great.
Yeah, it does look really good at this point. Maybe some dry weather on the way. Maybe not. That depends on which weather person you happen to talk to. But we want to talk about the outside markets and the agricultural energies for the afternoon. There's a big disparity, Harry, between what an ethanol plant is paying for the price of corn and the futures price in Chicago. And I know it's not your area of expertise, but this overage, does it make much difference in the agricultural energies and to the rest of the outside marketplace?
Well, I think what we've been seeing here recently in the is a lot of the impact in the energy markets, and it's a ripple effect mostly coming across from the European markets. The European, you know, we had Greece, and then we got into France, and so we're seeing a lot of that ripple effect here in the past several weeks influencing the energy complex in a big way. And a lot of that is the tie-in to the stock market fall and the commodities fall. In fact, we had a chart just the other day that showed the impact of crude oil prices that the stock market has had. Both of them are mirroring each other quite a bit. So in the past month or so since we talked last, that's a lot of what's been going on here. Is this a European drag on the financial markets, and thus carrying across into the energy markets and dragging them down? In fact, just yesterday, I think it was, we had crude oil down around $82, $83. Today, it's bounced just a little bit up to around $84.
Yeah, so it suppresses kind of everything, and domestically, then usage for corn, for instance, might be stronger than what the futures markets are paying, I suppose, is what you're in part telling me. And then one other item that's coming out of Europe. Have you been watching Spain yesterday and today? They're awfully worried about their banking system and going to the European Union and saying, we can't handle it. We need your help, too. Is that going to be a big problem?
Well, it's a looming problem. And again, that's what these equity market traders are watching in a big way. Because, yeah, it's not just Greece. You got Spain, you got France, you got a number of those countries that just we think that at times they're getting things settled over there, and then something else pops up, another grass fire, as you'd say. And so until they really kind of get things in order a little more over there, it seems like there's going to be sellers on rallies in the equity markets, and thus in the energy complex we'll probably still have some sellers. Now, what we're starting to get down to, though, is we've got the funds, the big money people are pretty much washed out of the heating oil market here that the diesel fuel prices are derived from. So now we're going to be interested to see if there's not some opportunities for fall to be locking in product for some end users.
And anything else that we ought to be adding before I let you go for the afternoon on this?
Well, one thing is happening big in the fundamental side of it. The product stocks, gasoline and diesel fuel stocks, are starting to get on the low side, even though we have very adequate stocks of crude, Todd. So for the next month or so, we're going to have to watch these product stocks real close and to see if they start bottoming out here or not.
And would that then give you an indication that producers need to lock in earlier than expected?
I think so. I think what they need to do is start talking to their local FS member cooperatives and start seeing what programs they offer in liquid fuel, but also in propane, because these markets have come off enough to take advantage for somebody that doesn't have coverage for the second half of the year, this would be an opportunity to start looking at some prices and see what's available, see what programs they have out there also, especially if you don't have anything locked in yet.
All right. Thank you so much, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark, joins us from his Bloomington office here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Just a few moments, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. If you were hoping to go on our Follow the Corn bus tour, we filled the bus yesterday. We're taking wait list numbers. If we happen to get about 20 folks on that list, and sign up if you want, we'll decide to take a second bus potentially, but I'm not going to promise anything at this point. I just humbly say in 3 weeks we managed to fill a bus, and we're going to head to New Orleans for our Follow the Corn bus trip. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, here now to take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Let's start here in the Midwest. We had rainfall over the weekend. It helped a lot, but we need about an inch a week. Any possibility next week or this week that that'll happen?
Yes. While we don't have a lot of rain in the forecast here in the short term, what we do have is a return to somewhat warmer temperatures. Temperatures are still on the average over the next week to 10 days, still end up a little cooler than normal, but not too far off target. We're going to see another chance of shower and thunderstorm activity pretty much on a widespread basis developing, oh, maybe as early as Sunday night into Monday, certainly Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. The Corn Belt should have some ample opportunities for showers and thunderstorms. That's followed by another system late next week and towards Father's Day weekend. I would call the pattern coming up, while it may be a little cooler than normal, a pretty favorable one for most of the Midwest and Corn Belt.
Oh, that is good news indeed. Then take me out west and talk to me a little bit about wheat harvest there and how it's progressing.
Well, certainly they're going to be looking at a little bit of a problem, perhaps, with some unsettled weather. As we get into next week, some of that shower and thunderstorm activity that's going to affect us is going to affect portions of winter wheat country. It's mainly going to be some showers and thunderstorms. Now, right now, nobody is really wet. In fact, if anything, conditions are still pretty dry in those western wheat areas. But there's going to be an uptick in shower and thunderstorm chances there. So if we're going to have any delays, it's going to be from thunderstorm activity that could cause a few wet areas.
And turn your attention to other growing regions around the northern hemisphere. Start in China and then work your way back eastward.
Well, as we go over to China, it looks pretty wet. In fact, it's going to be in the next week especially. Most of China's growing areas, especially the central, southern, western areas and the far east, southeast areas, going to see some pretty good chances for rain. Some of it could be fairly heavy. Really only the northern areas of China are going to be a little bit on the dry side, and temperatures going to be a little bit below normal in China as well. Across Europe, across Russia, the Ukraine, a fairly favorable weather pattern. Most of Europe, most of Russia, Ukraine are going to be looking at near normal amounts of precipitation. And a fairly favorable weather pattern, not unlike what we'll be developing here.
Oh, how time tends to heal things. Just a few weeks ago, we were worried about every place in the northern hemisphere, and things look like they're going to turn around. Of course, I suppose that's all up to nature, and everything can dissipate pretty quickly, can't it?
Well, yeah, and what we've seen here in the first part of June is a weather pattern that is actually more like what we'd see in the middle of May in terms of a lot of cool air still locked up in the northern and higher latitudes, and that is going to start to ease up a little bit. But this pattern, as it changes a little bit, is going to increase the threat of precipitation across most of the northern hemisphere's key growing areas.
Thank you so much, Don. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.